Everybody. Can we close the door and start the meeting? I declare the meeting opened. I have apologies in front of me. The apology from the members, Mr. Desi, Mr. Lovu from IFP, Mr. Lowe from DA, Ms. Randolas of SIC, ANC, Mr. Albert. I don't know if Mr. Albert. Which part is it? I've never seen him. That's the reason why I don't know him. I'm told it's from the Freedom for Hand Class. And there is one from the governing board of the CCMA, Ms. Governing Board Chairperson, CCMA, when we announced the date, she came to me and asked if we can't look for a suitable date because she is attending a wedding of the brother. We have tried. There was no suitable date. We have tried with the CCMA. We were in contact with the director. There was no suitable date. So she had to choose between work and family matters. Then it's clear that she has chosen the family matters. Now, the business of today is, I want to take us to the meeting that we held where we were briefed by the AG's office on the findings of the forensic report of the CCMA. In that meeting, we also had commissioners from the CCMA, part-time commissioners, and we had a whistleblower who wanted to tell us about their grievances. We listened to the commissioners, and in that meeting, we said there was nothing that we could respond to because the people are being accused or the allegations are labeled to are not in the house. We therefore said we will have a meeting whereby we will have all three parties under the same roof so that we can respond at the end of that meeting. Now, this meeting is not that meeting because if we are going to be dealing with the grievances of the commissioners and the grievances of the whistleblowers and want to deal with the outcome of the forensic report, we will be defocused. We won't get to the bottom of the matter. Today, the agenda is one, and that agenda is the CCMA, the findings of the AG's office on the investigation, forensic investigation on the CCMA. We have read it as members, but it will be the responsibility of the CCMA today. We can't just say we see the response, we see the recommendations. Now, just go back and implement what is in those reports. We need to know what happened because we may want to downplay the findings and come up with all sorts of nice English to downplay it. But the CCMA is an entity of government. And all the entities of government, their roles and regulations that are governing the manner in which they work, the manner in which they use their finances. Right in there, it might be, because that's where you are working, your finances, but there are regulations that you follow. PFMA, Treasury regulations, governing body is a governing body that has responsibilities that are outlined in the Constitution. So we can't just say it's simple. It's issues of non-compliance are not issues that can be complained. Imagine all these entities of government, if there are irregularities of expenses, and if they are sorted out as internal issues, as Parliament and many other people, we don't have to enter. What would be of this state? These are taxpayers' monies that we use in this institution, and therefore, when things are not going right, we need to know what went wrong so that we are all reading from the same page as to what are the challenges that the governing body is facing. Definitely, there will be explanations. Governing body has a responsibility to see to it that everybody, everything, and everybody in the management are adhering to the policies, including their own policies. But in this case, it's clear that not only the Treasury regulations, PFMA, that was flouted, but your own policies were flouted in the process. So that's why we are here today, just for you to tell us there are things that we might not know, challenges that led to this situation. We need to hear. And then how are you going to redress the situation? Have you started? How far are the time frames? It will be, just before I give to the CCMA, go back to the issue of the commissioners. I have asked the committee secretary to compile a file to be given to the CCMA of all the challenges that were raised, so that at the right time, the CCMA can respond, can come to respond to us as to what went wrong and what is that they think of the allegations that have been labeled against them. There is an issue of a whistleblower. That issue as well will those documents, because what they have sent is different. It's not really, we know that the forensic report is a result of the issues that were raised by the whistleblowers. Now, there is a way that whistleblowers are treated, and there are perceptions out there that whistleblowers are abused whenever they raise issues, they lose their job. It will be the responsibility of the CCMA, not in this meeting, in another meeting, to tell us when they respond on the questions of the allegations by the commissioners and what happened. How did the whistleblowers lost the job? Because the word out there, it's after they were whistled, and that's how they lost the job. And if that is the case, really, it's going to be a serious problem. But before we could judge you, we'd give you an opportunity to come and present yourself to Parliament. So I will give over to the CCMA. And everybody who's here, I know they are here. There is no way that we can close doors. In the last meeting, we had members of the CCMA who were members of the public. So today, we also have, I've seen one face that I recognize of the commissioners. Definitely, whoever is here as a member of the public. So the conversation will be only the discussions between the CCMA and members of parliament. We also have the delegation from the office of the AG that is led by Mr. Nazir. They are here with us today. And they are here to listen so that where there are issues of clarity that are needed, as people who have done the investigation, that clarity can be given on the spot. So I will give over to the governing body of the CCMA to tell us what went wrong. Why are we here today? What is the way forward in terms of the report?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Sorry, sir. Oh. Just before you start, can we know who is in the house? How many members of the governing body? They will tell, you just tell us who you are, which organization, and the designation. And that's all. Thanks, yes.
Madam Chair, David Carson, governing body member of the CCMA.
Madam Chair, Nzwaki Mamashela, representing government on the governing body.
Mary Malite, representing Labour, governing body member.
Madam Chair, David Lekay, representing business on the Finance and Risk Subcommittee of the governing body.
Madam Chair, Ngwako Sekgololo, CCMA Management.
Peggy Nchalinchali, representing organized labor in the GMB office, CCMA.
Madam Chair, I'm Noreen Khan, CCMA Director, ex officio member of the governing body of the CCMA.
Madam Chair, it's Nelson Governor, CCMA Management.
I'm Rahul Fishel, I'm also with the CCMA.
Madam Chair, I'm Ian Mattoon, representing government on the CCMA governing body.
Morning, Madam Chair. My name is Freddie Peterson. I'm from the Department of Labour and I'm also part of the Audit Committee of the CCMA.
Tembungo Simkadipi, I represent government on the CCMA governing body.
And I get this report to you, Stata.
Tumble Priestley from Business Report.
Tumble Priestley, the Mail and Guardian.
At the back, do we have people from CCMA or the... They are all from the CCMA management.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
No governing body, that's management.
It's all management at the back and commissioners.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Nzalinzali.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Good morning, everybody in the house. We are pleased as a CCMA to have an audience here in Parliament this morning. We appreciate the format of the meeting as outlined by yourselves, including the issues that you deferred for some time to respond to it at an appropriate time. We embrace the opportunity to address the issues that have beleaguered the CCMA for many weeks now, and assure you that on behalf of the governing body and management of the CCMA, that these issues are vexation to each other of us. They trouble us deeply and they worry us. My colleagues and I, on behalf of the governing body, had invested much time and energy getting to the bottom of the allegation against the CCMA. We have not taken this matter lightly. On the contrary, we have delved deep into the records to determine the source of allegation of impropriety, wasteful expenditure, fraud and corruption that the Auditor General have found in his investigation of corporate governance at the CCMA. We have made it our business to get to the root of the accusation because we want the CCMA to be a ship that is run tightly, that is run efficiently. This organization does extremely important work in South Africa. It is an enabling entity for the very machinery of our economy, the relation of the great South African workplace. In fact, at some point we said most of our responsibility is to maintain the industrial peace. The CCMA has to be beyond reproach in all its business dealings, beyond reproach in corporate governance. It has to be beyond reproach in matters of its own relations with its employees and beyond reproach in its accounting and financial accountability. The CCMA, in short, needs to set an example, and it needs to set an example that is faultless. It needs to hold itself up as a barometer by which corporate governance in other entities, both public and private, may measure themselves. And that is why we welcome engagement with you today. The CCMA has always willingly held itself open to scrutiny. We welcome such scrutiny. We invite it even. For we believe that it's the public as a mission interrogation that gives evidence of the CCMA transparency, and without evidence of our transparency, our declaration of good governance and integrity are hollow. We are here today to tell you that our own extensive investigation into business of the CCMA have found that some of the allegations have been long identified and began being addressed by the management and reported to the board. They were justified and required attention. We're also here to tell you that there is no foundation at almost of all the allegations made against the CCMA, that there is a fraud and corruption, as can be tested by the AG in their report, which is found on page 15 of their report. Where allegations are justly made, we had already put steps in place to rectify those situations, to ensure that oversight such as the ones in the AG's found never happen again, the CCMA, to limit the damage as much as possible where that damage may be limited. We don't believe that there is any more we can do. We're committed to the correction and we've stated we have steadily applied to correct them already. So, as you indicated, any risk raised, we take it seriously. And we are going to, in this meeting today, try to address each and every allegation as put it in the report give some explanation where it's necessary, first and foremost, but subject ourselves to some questions that the portfolio committee may wish to raise with us, and engage openly with those allegation or with those founding made by the AG. We need to, by such, indicate that we may be joined by one of our GP members who was unable to get his flight from Mozambique on time, so when he pitched up, it is not disrespect of these meetings because he's out of the country. As many of the governing body members are part-time, they got some other competing responsibility, but we appreciate the opportunity given to us. We are going to be engaging a number of governing body members to explain, especially on the different portfolio they have within the governing body, to be able to give as much information as necessary so that whatever conclusion that the portfolio committee has to decide is based that we're given an opportunity and we explain ourselves to those questions that you may wish. On issues that might be issues of technicalities that we may have to use people within the family that can better explain those issues, we'll do so among the people in the management of the CCMA, but we try to limit ourselves to the issues that have been raised. Thank you very much. We'll call first David to explain, and if you allow us just to go through to those issues, and then you will indicate to us whether you wanted to interrogate each or you want us to give the presentation full on all the aspects and therefore raise some question. We'll leave it to you, Madam Chair, to give us direction as we move it on. Thank you very much, Steve.
Okay, members, what is that you want us to do? We allow them to go to each and every issue that is raised for them to clarify themselves, and then the way forward. Would that be proper? Okay.
Just before McKay said something, let me just indicate, Madam Chair, through your permission, that the CCMA has 3 audits on this allegation already. Not downplaying the issue that we are making, that we had the 2009 regular audit by the AG, which included a high-level investigation on these issues. We have the 2009-2010 additional audit, which is now before you. But we are also we are having the 2010 regular audit by the AG. So when we're saying we want to deal with this issue, conclude, so that we are able to work forward in terms of the other audit that is coming, that is not to be balked by other issues. So the question of closing on these issues, I think, is very important to us, that with your assistance, we'll be able, whether we can tick on these issues and be able to move forward. But, okay.
Yeah, I think
the
question Mr. Ntsalintsale, it is important for us this is the first audit report that has come to this committee, well, the new committee. Now, if you are saying that there are issues in this report that have been raised in the previous audit report, what we are interested in, I think the line of march should be, tell us the challenges on all the issues that have been raised, so that we don't come back and sit here without having given and find the same mistake in the next financial year without having heard from you what are the challenges, so that we are all on the same page, understanding that these challenges are not about to be removed now because of APCD, so that the community, yourselves, and all other stakeholders they deal with the issues that you cannot deal with them as CCMA. So when you go through each, just tell us what were the challenges. For instance, the issues where you say the challenges that have been identified and have been sent to the board. We don't know what the board did with those challenges that you have sent to them. So the board must tell us what went wrong, what are the challenges that makes the situation to be what it is today in the CCMA. Irregularities, when it comes to money, many other things. They had a responsibility, you had a responsibility to oversee and redirect. But we don't know what is going on. It is, we are giving you an opportunity to tell us, so that when you say this is the way forward, we then say, on top of that, as Parliament, this is what we want you to do, on top of what the AG, definitely there are recommendations by the AG. You might want to add on those recommendations. We might want to add on the recommendations, or we can say they are fine. If we are all saying that those recommendations are okay, they will change the status quo in the CCMA, then let us hear today, so that we don't call you next year on the same issues. But if you tell us that this is an issue that we cannot deal with now, it will take us another 5 years. Let us hear. Or why has these issues have taken us 5 years or 10 years? Definitely there are challenges. What are those challenges? So that as Parliament we can assist.
Okay, Batman.
Madam Chair, let me just reiterate where allegations were justly made. We have or had already put steps in place to A, rectify those situations, B, to ensure that oversights such as the ones the Auditor General found never happen again at the CCMA, and C, to limit the damage as much as possible where that damage may be limited. We don't believe there is any more we can do. We are committed to correction, and we have started applying correction already. We also wish to categorically state that no one is or has unduly benefited from any of these irregularities. Before I proceed to give you some of the examples, if I can just, for the benefit of the members, say at the Finance and Risk Subcommittee meetings, which are held quarterly, we interrogate management extensively on the reports that are tabled at the subcommittee meeting. As the title of the subcommittee states, it's for finance and risk. And recently the risk portfolio has been introduced. And that is part of looking at the CCMA's corporate governance as a whole, and in which it would respond to many of the executive issues to that. And we have taken the report from the Auditor General, and we have created a document detailing all of these issues which needs the attention of executive management. And on a regular basis, they will report to the various subcommittees and the governing body on how these matters are being addressed, particularly, as you also mentioned, the time frames in which these matters will be remedied and what steps are being taken to prevent the reoccurrence of such matters. That is a clear example of how serious the governing body takes these matters that have been reported from the Auditor General. Now let me proceed to give you some of the examples. The Auditor General made a finding about the BEE credentials of one of the service providers on ICT, that is printing services. The CCMA should have better checked the triple BE credentials of a supplier who misrepresented those credentials before awarding work to that supplier. They had terminated the contract on 29 December 2009. Furthermore, the CCMA has put steps and systems in place. as from 1 April 2010, all suppliers are required to submit a valid BEE verification certificate from a DTI accredited company with SANA's certification to prove beyond doubt their triple BEE credentials. We do not do this only because it is a requirement of law, but because it is the right thing to do. Another example, where the Auditor General identified a payment error, that being that the CCMA paid more for the services of a contractor than CCMA initially agreed to pay. CCMA has gone back and interrogated the invoice against the cost estimate. There was an error at the invoicing stage from the supplier that was a lack of vigilance at CCMA causing it not to be picked up. We thank the Auditor General for his vigilance and for finding this error. CCMA has been in touch with the supplier who acknowledges the error. CCMA is also in the process of recovering the money from the supplier. More importantly, we are putting systems in place to make sure that this does not happen again. A particular example of the systems that is being put in place, Madam Chair, is the regular reconciliations of supplier accounts. That is a financial issue. CCMA is determined to pay fairly for work, fairly and well delivered. We will not exploit suppliers, but we will also not gratuitously enrich them. Again, we thank the Auditor General for pointing out the error found to enable us to claim the money back that may be invested elsewhere.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What I'm going to talk about is the extending of supplier contract. We thank the Auditor General for identifying the breaches in the CCMA procedures around extending a supplier contract to maintain the service. We also acknowledge management oversight in one particular contract where a supplier had his contract routinely extended without his services or costs being subjected to the competitive process that applies in such matters for all public entities. This was a management oversight which started as far back as 2001 to date, and that is why I said it's routinely, because with routine you take things as normal, unfortunately having an oversight. And the oversight has now been rectified chiefly through the implementation of a decision register at the CCMA that will track all contracts to ensure that they comply fully with good, correct, and adequate procedure. And this has begun, so it's a process, an ongoing process that the CCMA will be doing as they engage suppliers. We also acknowledge, too, that payments made to one service provider contravened the seeding policy. Our oversight was that we paid the supplier in installments for commodities supplied, but that was paid in batches. And ultimately, the supplier was paid in full for all services rendered and the goods delivered. CCMA has taken steps to ensure the seeding policy is not breached again. However, we need to point out that there was a fair monetary and service exchange in this case. Thank you.
That's what do you mean by fair monetary and service? What's the meaning of that?
I'm saying a fair monetary because when the contracts go through the BID, that is the bidding committee, they also are, after they conclude with that and after doing the investigations, they will then recommend that to the finance committee. Then it was the finance committee that was before even the risk management committee was taken on board, because now it's one. It's the finance and the risk management committee combined. Then the finance committee will also go through the recommendation that was given. Then because the service provider needed to be paid, but we didn't pay it in a lump sum once. What we did was we had to pay it in batches, and at the same time, going through each time when the payment was given, the management would come to the finance committee so that we sign for the money that would go. That is the reason why I say it was fair, it was a monetary policy, investigation or procedure that was followed before the money was paid. And hence the money was paid fully when the service provider then subsequently finished his the contract with us. That is the contract of providing the service that we was required by the CCMA, if I made myself clear.
Madam Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee, first an apology. When I introduced myself, I failed to mention I'm the business representative on the governing board. Sorry about that. Madam Chair, on the factual allegation regarding the non-payment of pay-as-you-earn deductions from the part-time commissioners, we must acknowledge our oversight with regard to these non-deductions, which occurred from March 2003 and which effectively predates the tenure of the current governing board members. It occurred after a practice note on independent contractors was issued by the South African Revenue Services. However, I think it is important to note that this issue was identified some time ago. It was reported to the then current governing board. They monitored progress. In fact, it was nothing new and formed part of the annual audit over that period in time. So it was therefore an especially worrying accusation for us. So we spent a lot of time examining the context and history of the problem very, very carefully. The historic context giving rise to this issue is especially relevant and dates way back to 1996 when the CCMA was established. At that time, part-time commissioners were treated as independent contractors for tax purposes, as was the general practice in industry. This was a situation that endured from March 2003 until February 2007. And so, Madam Chair, the CCMA, yes, did not deduct pay-as-you-earn tax from them. Tax regulations changed and CCMA has brought its tax practices fully in line with the new regulations. I must also mention that the CCMA was never, in the words of the AG's report, investigated. That's not a factual position by SARS. In fact, what happened was the CCMA management, after identifying the problem and having raised it with the then governing body, took the initiative and approached SARS to find a way in which that area could be rectified and could be corrected as soon as possible. South African Revenue Services and CCMA have acted in concert in solving the error, and the error has been solved, and making sure that the CCMA complies fully in all tax legislation. Management and the governing body is working to make sure this kind of problem doesn't reoccur, because it's unacceptable. We don't want to be in that position again. Importantly, I must mention that the CCMA is recovering this money from the affected commissioners who were contracted to the CCMA at that time, and the governing body and management will vigorously pursue that particular approach. And will not happen in the future. And Madam Chair, in response to your initial comments, important comments, we do not see this being as a future challenge. We understand the legislation. We'll make sure that that doesn't happen with part-time commissioners. Chair, the allegation of a late payment to the Provident Fund, the AG's office is perfectly correct in identifying the late payment to the Provident Fund. However, we need to point out that the governing body is completely satisfied that the late payment to the Provident Fund was completely beyond the CCMA's management control. We experienced cash flow problems a year ago. The, These cash flow problems were caused simply by the late payment of monies to the CCMA by the Department of Labor. I might mention, even though undertaking to pay over the CCMA drawdown early was given to the board, CCMA therefore could not pay its contributions to the fund because it did not at that point in time have the money to make those subscriptions. The CCMA had budgeted and calculated its finances based on the government's undertaking and its promise to make the early drawdown payment. As a result, the body incurred penalty fees. When the money was received 2 weeks after it was promised, the CCMA immediately settled its account with the Provident Fund, but as is correctly recorded in the AG's report, this was too late to prevent penalty payments being incurred. We do acknowledge as governing body members and senior management that given our status in the labour market, this is not exemplary, but management acted in good faith in these circumstances. We have taken steps to ensure that this doesn't happen again, but I may mention that this could be potentially a challenge for the future depending on drawdowns and payments from the Department of Labor. And as a governing body member, we would have to make sure that this doesn't happen and make sure that requests are made timeously. Madam Chair, on the allegation of the salary advance to a commissioner, we certainly acknowledge that a part-time commissioner was granted an advance on his salary in January last year. We acknowledge that he was advanced more money than the CCMA policy allowed him to receive, and of course we acknowledge that the money was paid back over a longer period of time than is permitted. Perfectly correct. This is, of course, from our point as governing body and management, an unacceptable situation. And as is often the case, there are reasons for this happening. The reasons are largely personal in nature. The commissioner in question found a sympathetic person at the CCMA who was willing to help him out of a financial quagmire. As I understand it, the person was about to lose his house. The individual that assisted the commissioner considered this role for the CCMA as a benevolent employer. But that aside, that is not the stance of the governing body. It was irregular, it clearly violated policy that stands today. However, the CCMA has recovered the full sum of the salary advance. We have taken appropriate steps against the employee who approved the advance and its payback terms, and I certainly assure you from the governing body side and from senior management that this will not happen again and should not be a challenge for us in the future. Excuse me, I'm sorry about that. Madam Chair, we of course summarized each situation where the CCMA admits it may have not been totally compliant, and certainly in the case I've just mentioned, totally not compliant, no doubt about that. There will be more than enough time to interrogate the details on each of the points. However, we also need to spend a bit of time going over the remainder of the AG's points against the CCMA, and I'll hand over to Tim Nkosi to deal with the first of those issues.
Thank you, Mr. Carson. One of those issues, Madam Chair, is the view of the Auditor General on the decision taken by the CCMA to hire Process System Structure Innovation and Design Service Provider, and that this service provider received payment in spite of the fact that the Auditor General said he could not find significant change in process in either process or operation brought about by recommendation of this service provider. The government body is satisfied that this company service were indeed required at CCMA and that profound and positive structure changes have come about as a result of this professional service and recommendation to the CCMA. For example, CCMA now has a corporate structure where this was absent before as a result of the proposal made by the service provider. Several units required by law have been set up as a direct result of recommendation made by the service provider. They included the supply chain management unit, the RIF unit, the office of the chief financial officer, the general manager, the corporate service. All of this was put in place to strengthen governance. The other issue that the Auditor General raised of the CCMA in terms of fruitful is the commuting cost of personnel who were appointed and who travel between their place of residence and Johannesburg. I mean, these officials, some of them were appointed, they were from the Western Cape and they did work at the head office in Johannesburg, and the Auditor General was of the view that was wasteful and expenditure that of course. These costs, the Auditor General says, were extravagant and wasteful. When we take a look at the specific incidents the Auditor General identified, we see that in one case, allowing the staff member to travel between her home and Johannesburg was cheaper than the cost it had been to relocate her. Furthermore, these costs were contracted and approved in advance of employing the employees, as the Auditor General finds, where in terms of the policy, the decision that were taken were in terms of the policy of the CCMA. Therefore, there was nothing outside the policy of the CCMA that disallowed the CCMA taking decisions to relocate some of the staff or to let them travel. Or just to add here, some of the staff were not appointed full-time in Johannesburg, but because of their expertise in the areas that they work in, and because of the problems that we're having in the Johannesburg offices, we had to take people who we thought with their expertise would be able to deal with some of the problems that we needed to be dealt with in the Johannesburg office. And that was a situation that we thought that it's in the realm of management to look at the budget and be able to take decision and solve problems where they can. If it means moving somebody for a short period from Cape Town to Johannesburg to do that, we think that management should and is allowed to do that. In another case, the staff member in question actually did relocate to the area that they were appointed to. His travel expenses were regular cost to company expenses that would have been incurred for this work-related travel, no matter where he lives. The cost that the department incurred when I come to the portfolio committee in Cape Town is an example that it doesn't matter where I stay, the department will have to incur that cost if the portfolio committee wants me to come to do some work in the portfolio committee. And it's done, as long as it's done in terms of the policy of the department. And we were a little bit strange for the Auditor General when the policy allows it and the Auditor General finds it odd in terms of extravagant and wasteful expenditure. There's another issue that the Auditor General has raised, where the Auditor General raised the issue of quotation, where the Auditor says that the CCMA only sought quotation and bids from a single service provider. And then this was because only once IT service provider possessed the technology compatible with the CCMA barcode system. It made no sense at all to see competitive bids. The Auditor General has also captured this point that it was a sole provider. And I mean, in terms of a sole provider, it's allowed in terms of the PCMA, it is a sole provider that you could use a single provider. However, the accounting officer should have recorded the reason the CCMA has not implemented a register for accepted depreciation maintained by the accounting officer. Therefore, that's the issue that they are raising, that yes, they understand that it's a sole provider, but the chief financial officer should have recorded the deviation, and that's the issue that has been raised. Where again, the Auditor General, in their statement to Parliament on the 17th of August, alleged that there was a splitting of quotation in the CCMA to the value of about 600,000. There was no splitting of quotation. The amount quoted is attributed to one service provider who provided advertising services to HR vacancies. Vacancies when the CCMA almost every year advertised vacancies for commissioners. Those that their contract end and also full-time staff. And now this provider provided advertising services on HR vacancies to the CCMA from far as back as 2004. The new management, when they became aware of this arrangement, set up an additional supply chain management process. The content is that the service provider was asking for quotation from different publications and offered the CCMA the cost effective publication for them to source. The view of the people involved at the time thought three quotations were sought, albeit by the service provider, that they complied with the supply chain management process. It's not that the three quotations were not sought, but they were not sought directly by the CCMA. They were sought by the service provider in order for them to assist in that process. Is that okay?
Madam Chair, the matter where the Auditor General found that the CCMA had appointed the service provider who did not provide the lowest quotation, the reason for that was that the purchase order documents of the supply chain management unit showed that of the three quotations requested for the purpose of acquiring those services, the lowest quotation was from a service provider who was not able to produce a valid tax clearance certificate. Hence, that supplier did not meet the requirements fully from the supply chain management and was disqualified. We'd also like to report on the matter where the bank accounts that were closed, the delay in that, Madam Chair. We might be aware that when you lease properties from time to time, the landlords will require a guarantee for the rental, and those guarantees had been issued by certain of the banks whose accounts we needed to close, and we had to wait until those guarantees were completely unwound before we could close the bank accounts. And immediately when that situation was favorable, the guarantees were then rendered unaccountable and the bank accounts were closed.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, on the allegation of the payment for goods higher than the amount originally agreed, and of course when you say that, alarm bells immediately start ringing. Here the Auditor General correctly identified that the CCMA had paid more for goods from a service provider than the sum originally agreed on. The reason for that was quite simple. It was because of fluctuations in the foreign exchange rate for the particular goods that needed to be imported. The rationale for the difference in payment is duly correctly noted in all the CCMA accounts and administrative records. And again, coming to your earlier introductory remark regarding challenges, yes, this sort of thing could be a challenge in the future where imported goods are involved with the service provider. And as management and certainly as governing board members, we'll have to address this in terms of our procurement policies to make sure that there's a system that can accommodate it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Lastly, Madam Chair, on one of the findings, the Auditor General also makes a number of points about other tax irregularities apparently committed by the CCMA. In one instance, a supplier's VAT registration number was incorrectly captured by the Auditor General during their investigation. And this was pointed out by the management, and it was then corrected by the Auditor General. The CCMA has investigated each of these allegations and put on record that every single supplier that provides services to the CCMA is VAT registered. CCMA is in possession of all tax clearance certificates of all suppliers that we have in place at the moment. And during the investigation, the Auditor General never asked for copies of these tax clearance certificates, and should they have asked for them, this would have been provided to them. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, just explain, I mean, we don't want the impression that we importing stuff outside the country. The contract that you're talking about is Microsoft, and you know Microsoft is one of the biggest bullies in the labor market, and the payment to Microsoft is in U.S. rands, is in U.S. dollars, and that's where the fluctuation comes in. We're buying the stuff in South Africa with Microsoft, but we have to pay in U.S. dollars. We might be fortunate now because the rand is getting stronger. We might pay less than what we quoted. We quoted the Auditor General will note that and say, well, you're paying less than what you quoted initially because the rand is stronger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we've attempted to respond to some of these allegations as the, not allegation now, or the findings that the AG's office has made and indicated in some instances how far have we gone in relation to rectifying or implementing the recommendation in other aspects, indicating that it was a question of interpretations. But in all those aspects, the final interpretation lies with the Auditor General. We don't want to find a different interpretation moving forward. Wherever they have a different view, we have agreed to subject ourselves to the to their interpretation, so that there should be no matters arising on some of those issues. And I think we need to indicate that they've been helpful in working with us in addressing those issues. And as I have said before, we are open to investigations. We welcome it. We appreciate, and we think we find comfort to your words that where issues are of ongoing nature, we should indicate to them, because coming to the next audit, if things are not solved and find a common understanding, there will be matters arising forever to come. And in that spirit, we were at your service to answer any question or to elaborate on the issues that you may think we need to give more information to some of them. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, we would just like to add, you mentioned at the outset, what are the challenges and how are these challenges going to be addressed, so that in future when the auditor's report is submitted, that these challenges do not reoccur. And as I said at the outset of my address, many of the issues we are taking very seriously, and reporting has been implemented by the various units within the CCMA to track the challenges that have been brought about, so that at the next annual audit we would have been able to close these loopholes that have existed, and that we have met the challenges by implementing controls and procedures on a regular basis to meet these challenges. Right now that is a work in progress, and it is being tracked by the various organs of the governing body.
Thank you. Members, that's the explanation from the CCMA, both the management and the governing body. Do you want to comment or ask questions? Honourable
Olive. Chairperson, thank you. I've got several technical questions. You know, we obviously in the Parliamentary Labour Committee have been in a difficult position. We had, first of all, people presenting a series of allegations to us, and then we had the Auditor General come and present a finding to us, and now yourselves, and we obviously need to try and make sure that we understand this properly. So if you'll forgive me, I just need to ask a couple of pointed questions. Mr. Jolly, I think it is, eh? You used the phrase fraud and corruption when you started speaking, and you were referring to the Auditor General. Please can you clarify, because the understanding that I have from reading that Auditor General's report is that he never referred to fraud, ever. And you used the word this morning, and maybe I wasn't listening carefully enough. Can you just explain to me what exactly you did say? Because I want to be very clear whether there was fraud or whether there wasn't fraud, okay? And the second question to you, I need his attention, sorry. My second question to you is, has any of this impacted your service delivery? Because, of course, we as Parliament are concerned that the people out there get the services they deserve. And I just want to know whether any of this has affected the service delivery on the ground. And then I've got a couple of just quick technical ones. If you'll excuse me, the gentleman with the blue over there referred to that particular case that the Auditor General brought here in his report, saying that 600,000 contract that was split to bring it below the level at which you would need to get multiple quotes. I didn't understand your explanation at all, and I wonder if you can just explain it a little more simply. You used a lot of technical language, and I don't understand that. I need to understand why that quote, the Auditor General said, was split, and you explaining now it wasn't split. There's some other explanation. I didn't understand that explanation at all. And then you said that it's cheaper to fly members than to relocate them, or fly staff than to relocate them, in the case of that commissioner that was moved from Cape Town to Johannesburg regularly. That's quite a statement to say it's cheaper to fly them than to relocate them, because it depends on how many flights and how long it goes on for. Maybe you can just explain that. If it was short term, I understand that. But if it was a long term thing, then flying can be quite expensive. Page 11. I assume that outstanding money to SARS is the 11 million that everybody got so upset about previously. And you say on page 12 that you've now are now deducting tax from these part-time commissioners, and that it's applied retrospectively. Does that mean that you've claimed back a portion or all of that 11 million? You know, if you don't get it back, then of course the taxpayer that's funding the 11 million. So are you saying that you've got part of that money back, or that you've got none of the money back, or that you're going to get all of it back? I just want to understand that. And then my final question, Madam Chair, is on page 12, you have this problem of the payments being made late. And I think perhaps it was the gentleman over there on the left who spoke about that issue. And you said that the Labor Department is paying you late, so therefore you have a cash flow problem. There's no money in the bank, so therefore you can't make payments. Well, can you please elaborate on that? Why is the Labor Department paying you late? You have members of the Labor Department on your board. Can't you grab them around the neck and demand that they pay on time? I mean, you know, for members of your own board to be representing the Labor Department, and then the Labor Department's withholding your checks, that's pretty serious. Maybe you can explain to us why exactly you can't get the check out of them. Thank you very much.
Another hand, Shelley. Honorable Shelley. Makubalo.
Makubela.
Thanks, Clive. It says here on your present, on the document that you have given us, this one, this is your document, the CMA's document. It says Auditor General's allegations to CCMA. Are they still allegations, or the Auditor General have found their findings that the Auditor General has on the running and all the allegations that were brought about to CCMA? And I get a sense that CCMA is responding as if they are still defensive of all the findings that were brought about by the Auditor General, because the Auditor General went to investigate and therefore brought a report that has findings around the allegations that were brought about. So I've heard Mr. Mkhalipi here and the lady over there to say that there are certain documents that the Auditor General did not ask for, and hence, if the Auditor General has asked for this, they were going to find that this was in order. And the report, the Auditor General's report, mentions that there were aspects whereby different service providers were given a work in the ranges of below 200,000, so that the CMA would just want quotations from service providers. It would not go through the normal process of advertising the tender and through the bid committee and all that. But here you come and you say to us that was in order, and the findings from the Auditor General are now they are not true. Because if you say that, well, these services were above board, and sourcing these quotations from these different service providers, or payments of above 600,000 to a service provider without having advertised, without having gone through the normal process of tendering, you are saying it was these findings from the Auditor General, in fact, are not true. My question is brought about because you are actually saying you are responding to the allegations from the Auditor General. It's as if now you
see that the report from the Auditor General has some loopholes in it. It is not a true reflection of what the finding of what happened at the CCMA. Can you just clarify that? Well, I'm getting really confused. If you, as CCMA, are still disputing the report from the Auditor General, because your document clearly says that you are disputing it. You are saying it's allegations now coming from the Auditor General. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. My first question is, how old is CCMA, number one? number two, it brings me back to the same question as to, because the gentleman out there, sorry I forgot your name, when I made your presentation, I got an impression that you were actually accepting, recognizing that what the AGSA is saying when the forensic reports are factual. But then you continue to say from Mr. Njalinjali, you continue to say the allegations. But at the same time, the impression I got from you is that you actually accept and recognize that they are factual. So I would want somebody between you to explain as to what is it that you are trying to tell the community. The next question is about something with regard to what you said, something personal. You said something but the service provider who had a personal problem. Personal. Now, I can understand something which is personal can impact negatively on such a huge institution, CCMA. Huge institution. Something personal can impact negatively on this institution. And you have the audacity to even mention it personal. Back to my number one question. I was asking you the question, how old are you now since you were born? The CCMA. Because if I'm looking at you, person to person. You create an impression you are people who are knowledgeable about their work. You are not only knowledgeable, you are also informed. But I can't understand why did you allow such a situation to happen with the knowledge, with the information you have, with the experience, and age as well. Why did you allow this to happen?
Any members, hands from the members? None. Can I ask the AG's office to make some clarifications that they need to make? Please, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Caroline Mampuru. I will not go too much into details, but I just needed to highlight one or two issues. The first one being that the summary that is provided by the CCMA talks about allegations of the Auditor General against the CCMA. The Auditor General does not have allegations against the CCMA. Allegations were made, and the AGSA then formulated some terms of references or a scope of the issues that are going to they probed, and those are contained in the report. So there was no allegations made by the AGSA. And then furthermore, to say that whilst the CCMA has raised some instances where they say the AGSA did not ask for the documentation or whatever, there has been an exchange of documents between the AGSA. We received a lot of documents from the CCMA. We did not certainly receive everything. Whilst the CCMA may have some of the documents that we have requested, we worked on the basis of what we had at a cut-off date. We were not in a position to continue with a to and froing and receiving documents. At some point, we had to cut off. And yes, so there might be one or two documents that the CCMA has, but we made our findings on the basis of information that we had. And that's also to clarify one or two issues that Mr. Mkalipi spoke specifically on. And he said that in relation to one of the issues where it was alleged that there was no need to replace certain systems within the CCMA because they operated efficiently and the like. And he ascribed the views that the AGSA was also of the view that there was no need to replace those systems and the like. We do not make any such findings in our report. Our report specifically and only deals with the issue of whether there were compliance with prescripts when that system was procured. So our inquiry was never about whether it was necessary or not to procure that system, and we do not pronounce on the issue. The report that we made is clear on the issue. We state at page 81 that it was alleged that it was not necessary to procure the service and that there was no need to replace the system. That was the allegation, but that is not what we looked at. We looked at whether in procuring this systems, whether processes were followed. And also the issue of whether in relation to the SARS matter, that the AGSA said SARS investigated the CCMA. I'm not sure where that comes from, but we state clearly in our report at page 14 thereof that that the CCMA became aware on its own accord of its shortfall and then voluntarily disclosed this to SARS. So we don't say that, you know, we uncovered that. And then lastly, in relation to the wasteful expenditure that Mr. Mkalipi referred to about the travel of the CCMA commissioners to and fro, we state clearly in page 41 that there was approval for this appointment to be made. The contracts covered that the people that were appointed, that their contracts covered that their transport fees, their accommodation, and all that will be covered by the CCMA. We don't say that that was fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Although the topic says fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we say clearly that, and we said also categorically in our last appearance that it's the CCMA's prerogative as management to decide who they hire and under what conditions. The contracts of these people said those issues would be covered, and they were indeed covered. Those are the issues that I wanted to clarify. Thank you. I think I must allow you to respond before I can say anything.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The questions are many, but we will try again to share them as we move on. To the question that was raised by Honourable Olive on the question of the allegation on fraud and corruption, we were taking it from the report that the allegations that were made that led to the investigation by the Auditor General centered around fraud and corruption, not his out, his finding that there was this question of no fraud. There was only in relation to the wasteful expenditure, irregularities, and all those things. But the request was that there was fraud and corruption. The allegation was on fraud and corruption. That's why we're making this reference to fraud. It's a question of how it started and how it was raised. There was a question on the question of service delivery, whether it has affected on the ground the impact of it. Nothing of the sort out of this investigation. In fact, the last report of 2009, the referrals that were made to the CCMA was 150,000. I mean, very, very high in terms of the confidence that the stakeholders, those who services, who use the service of the CCMA, if we use that barometer, we'll say, look, people got confidence and has to resolve their issues whatever way with the speed that they need, because one of our motto is that justice delays, justice deny. We won one of the best public, we're one of the best practices in public services, in fact, in terms of reputation in 2009. In the midst of these allegations, we have voted as one of the best. In relation to how old are we, it will be 14 years this year. Very young, but also these issues that people are changing. I mean, as the report were indicating, that there were issues that were started in 1996 or 2001. If they were not picked up, a new governing board, a new management take it on, regarded them through the audit that have been made, that some of the things were moving correctly. But we acknowledge that they were, we could have done it better to pick up those particular issues. We recognize those mistakes, that the governing board or management could have done it better to detect some of those issues in relation to my colleagues will respond to some of those issues. But on the question of whether these are findings or allegations, I think we are all common that this is a finding of the Auditor General. But there's only one aspect that the people were making reference, that if we were being asked to give and interact with them, we could have been able to provide the information necessary, and therefore that we did not explore that to that degree, and therefore it makes that these things we said is a finding, but the information and the basis of it is wrong. That's why we're trying to indicate that if we have provided, as Ms. Coronel was saying, we think they could have come to a different conclusion, because we could have provided the information necessarily to deal with those particular issues. But let me ask the different Tim Gosi, Obed, and others to indicate to the questions where we need to give some more flesh. Thank you very much.
Thank you, colleague. I think that this issue of whether the information was there, was asked, I would really plead not to get into that, and we understand how the Auditor General works. If by a certain date they needed information and they didn't get it, and that process we understand and we accept that. And for us, the most important thing is that the information is available. Therefore, there's no chances of fruitless expenditure. It's just that possibly at the time that the Auditor General wanted the information, for whatever reason, they couldn't get it. I don't know. I was not there. And the argument about whether they ask it or not, did not ask it, is not going to take really us anywhere. To us, the point that we're trying to stress is that the information is available and was available at that even at that stage. On this issue, the question was asked, how can it be less costly to relocate than to travel? And I think the member is correct in saying that it depends on the extent of the contract that you're talking about. Unfortunately, we do not have the details that to say here, but when we investigated the case, look at the case, our conclusion was that it was cost-effective what we were doing than to take the people in at that stage. Therefore, unfortunately, I'm not able to say it was for 20 days for this, but yes, we agree that if we are going to travel, depending how long you travel per month, it could be, if you travel every day, for example, per month, between Johannesburg and Cape Town, it could be very expensive. But that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the travel that is limited, a travel that is for a specific period, and that's why when we investigated the cost benefit to the organization were far better than relocating the people for that particular period. On the issue of the Auditor General, the issue that we are raising, we agree with the issue that that's why we're stressing that the Auditor General's finding also is that this provider that we source here was a sole provider. Therefore, they allowed the process. They did not make a ruling on it as being a fruitless expenditure because it was a sole provider. On the issue of splitting, I mean, the question that has been asked on the issue, I mean, we must remember that we're not talking here about 600,000 rand that was spent in 1 year and split and paid to this provider at different times. We're talking about 600,000 that has been paid over 3 years, over three financial years, of the same services that we provide, and the service provider procuring the service. Therefore, I mean, I would understand if we're talking about 600,000 we spent in one financial year, we've broken out into pieces. We spent 600,000, we use one provider, we paid this provider about 200 rand the financial year over those financial over that period. And the service provider, the argument with them was that they source the advertising for us, and they get them the codes. They are managing the process of advertising and putting adverts on the newspapers for us instead of the organization putting the advert. We say to the service provider, do this, and the service provider has got to get three codes in doing that. And yes, you could argue, I mean, and in some areas, I mean, we must also agree, in some areas, there are areas that we see, we don't see eye to eye with the Auditor General. The other, it's normal in any audit that an organization does not agree with the finding because of the issues that we are raising. And in this case, this is one of them where we say, I mean, we spent 600,000 rand, we paid over 3 years. It can be, I mean, regarded as the same as an organization spending 600,000 in 1 year, splitting it up and giving it to one provider to provide work. It's a different situation. And that's the explanation that we're trying to give here. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
You want to follow up on that 600? Please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the issue here is about from what the Auditor General has found is a tender that was split. That's how I understood the issue. Because if you will say you have paid one service provider more than once for doing the same service, then you have split the tender. That's the issue. So I'm getting confused now because that's my understanding of this. Because if you did not tender a sole provider, obviously there should have been supporting documents that says this person is a sole provider, so therefore we can't go out for tender. But if you don't have that and you haven't done that, this reflects as if you have split a tender in order to pay one service provider for one service. So this thing of duck and diving, we mustn't do it here. We mustn't do it. It's a fact. Unless you are saying that this service provider which was paid in year so and so is different from the service provider who was paid following that, and the service is not the same. But if the service is the same, the service provider is the same, you have split the tender. That's the issue.
Again, Madam Chair, to on this one before we move to the next one. Just to give explanation without further debating with the Honourable Member.
Please, Mr. Nsati. Oh, your name? Mr. Nwaku.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. To give context, we agree with the findings of the Auditor General, and the agreement with the Auditor General is that we went further. However, we gave the context of how it happened, because it's how the organization was structured. And it wasn't the only contract. When in the regulatory audit, when we looked at the findings of the investigation, we incorporated them in the regulatory audit so that when we the auditor signed off the books for 2009 and 10, we looked at those situations and we said we need to subject other services which the Auditor General has not even investigated so that we correct the situation from here going forward, that this practice does not happen. And the practice started around 2004, and in the regulatory audit, when we subjected all our procurement for the past, for comparative years, Nazia will assist me, for comparative years, meaning 8 and 9 and 9 and 10, we found one supplier similar to this supplier, and we have recorded it in the annual report, and we have put systems in place as from the 1st of June, and terminated those arrangements which dated back to 2004, that going forward, we are not going to have this kind of arrangement of having the same provider doing that kind of a service. It was wrong, and we recorded it in the annual report, and also as the investigation of the Auditor General has highlighted, we fixed that. I think Mr. Mkalipi was trying to give the context of how it has happened. Obviously, obviously, when we looked at the law, we sought legal interpretations because it's goods of the same nature which happen over a period of time. The systems which you need to put in place is that when you have goods of the same nature which are provided over a period of time, even if it's different suppliers, we need at some point have systems to pick it up to say, oh, red flag, you need to stop this, you need to go out on a competitive bidding. Because you can do it on quotation. Once you reach 500,000, even if it's different financial years, it means in outer years, you need to go out to tender and give everyone fair opportunity. Those are the systems we have put in place to address the situation going forward. The practice was wrong. And we acknowledged that with the AAG, and we agreed with it, and we put it in the annual report for 9 and 10, which is not qualified. Thank you.
I'm reminded that tea is ready, so we can take a break for 10 minutes and come back. You see, when I started the meeting, I said that we should not downplay or dismiss this report. When I said that, it was not out of my, you know, thinking that it's the events, the manner in which you are handling this case, CMA, your statements that you make, it reflects as if really you don't accept. And the manner in which you are answering, because if you have sat down and discussed the approach to the meeting, to say, to come here and say yes, Auditor General, for raising the flag. Yes. Thank you.
Lots of heartbroken things, yeah. Okay, obviously don't want to think if anything exciting happens here, but it doesn't seem likely.
I'm going to Can you give over to the SMA to